by his blood, and that is the Church of Christ. Amen. All the one in the Bible. So part three tonight. Part three, one thing I do. So Brother Powell informed me that it wasn't the scriptures you guys are talking about when I go fast. You're talking about the points. So let's go back over the points to remember from this series. In order to live in the presence, one must always understand that the past is always what? An unchangeable experience. We're always in the present, leaving a past experience. You will finish in the present, never in the future. The past is a memory, and the future is a mystery. You can only learn from the past. Never can you learn from your future. Future is a reach, but untouchable until it's in your present. Then it's no longer future. You will always finish in the present. Never will you finish in the future. You will always die in the present. Never will you die in the future. Death is a future discussion, but not a future act. Death is one that we know is coming, but when it comes, it will come in your now time. And so, with that in mind, you have the last one I said, would bring God, glory to God in your past and now in your present. Remember, God is in your presence, in your present. Is that better? So God is in your presence. He's with you in your present. But he'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you. So you can only trust him for your future. Amen. And so, tonight, this afternoon rather, just for a few minutes, if you didn't get that, then you go back and listen to it again. I encourage you to do it website. It'll be up first thing tomorrow morning, typically. Sister McNeil have it up. On the website, all you got to do is click on it, put your earphones on, stop listening to rap music, and listen to the sermon. So if you got your YouTube link you go to, just go to Holler Heights link, click on the sermon, and you start hearing it. They ain't got to have a CD no more. Amen. Those things going to be like tape for long. You know, we used to have the 8-track. Y'all remember that? Big old wire tape you had in your car. Big old weight track. Then they went down to cassettes. And all that was on little ribbons, right? And then they went to CDs. Now they're getting away from CDs, going to, what they call those things? Thumb drives, USBs. And they ain't got a tape player in you no more. You got to see, they're getting away from CD players in your car. And you got a little USB, you plug in USB. So we're trying to bring y'all up to speed. Amen. So and now, if I have a board, I will illustrate this. So you have to visualize it. Visualize God is that like looking at my mind, my brains. And that's what he sees. 1 Samuel 16:7, tonight's lesson is, what drives you living in the present? And 1 Samuel 16:7, the Bible says there,
but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance.
Don't look on a man's countenance.
Or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him.
Lord, don't look at us outside. But he said, for the Lord
see it not as men see.
See, Lord don't see what you see in me. You see me outwardly.
For man looking on the outward appearance.
But the Lord looking where?
On the heart.
On the heart. So God looking into my brain, my head. Proverbs 23:7. This is a short lesson, but you'll get it.
For as he thinketh in his heart.
So where is he thinking at?
So is he.
Where is he thinking? In the heart. So each one of us have a heart where we have thoughts. And the Lord is looking at our heart. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21.
Not everyone has said unto me.
Mark chapter 7, excuse me. Mark 7, 21. Mark 7.
For from within.
From within.
Out of the heart of men.
From out of the heart of men, proceed what?
Evil thoughts.
So it's from within that these thoughts, evil or good thoughts. But in this case, Jesus is speaking of what happened with evil thoughts. Notice what thoughts he's saying about. He's talking about the thoughts.
He said, adulteries.
Adultery. You can think, you can sin in thought. Adultery.
Fornication.
Murders.
Murder.
Theft.
Covetousness.
Wickedness.
Deceit.
Lasciviousness.
An evil eye. Blasphemy.
Pride. Foolishness.
All these evil things come from within.
Come with me. And remember, I was talking about how when people have past pains, they never deal with them within. So you start seeing outside behaviors. That's why people can lead to anger and bitterness and wrath when they haven't dealt with unforgiveness or being able to forgive others or being able to deal with something that happened in your past. Because it's not healed, you start seeing all these evil things, evil behaviors. Ephesians 4, you see all the anger and clamor and whispering, backbiting, and all this, or hatred, and all this stuff comes from evil thinking because the inside, Jesus is saying, these things are defiled, the man is defiled from inside out. So if you don't get these things healed, then you're going to have some problems with the Lord. He said, therefore I said, and look what he says. He said, and these evil things come from where?
Within.
So here's what you say. You say, God, so how am I going to live in the present? So God is looking at the way I think. So here's how you do it. Let's go to Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. Luke 12, 22. So we're dealing with thoughts. That's what we're dealing with. How I think in the present has everything to do with living in the present. Notice what he says. Jesus said, Luke 12, 22.
And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you.
Now notice what he said. Therefore I say unto you.
Take no thought for your life.
Take what?
No thought for your life.
There you go. He said, now here's what I'm saying.
What you shall eat.
That zero, that birth to death line I draw this morning is your life. So he's saying, and I was saying you have a past life, you have a present life, and you have a future. But the past is memory. The present is happening, and the future is a mystery. You don't know what's going to happen. So now he's saying, take no thought for your life. What is he saying? Don't think about it. No, that's not what he's saying. This thought here means don't let that trouble you. It's anxious. That's the Greek definition here. It's not meaning don't have no memory. That's impossible. It doesn't mean you're not going to think about it. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that you can't let that trouble you or worry you. This is talking about anxiety or worry you in your presence today. And so what I was talking about, that most of us are troubled and worried because of something that happened in our past or something that we want to happen in the future, but it's not happening right now. So it's troubling us. We're anxious. We're worried about that. We're hung up on the past, or we're hung up trying to attain all this stuff in the future, and it's messing our lives up. And many of us are not living in the present, including myself. I wasn't living there. I did not do what Paul was saying. This one thing I do, he said, is the forgetting. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting. In other words, he's saying, in our thoughts, what we're saying in our thoughts, not forgetting as in memory loss, but what we're doing is neglecting the past to come right now. And then God is down looking down on my brain and seeing how am I processing my thoughts. Now watch what he said. Now verse 23, he goes on to say why he said it. What he shall eat. This is talking about your life, body, or what shall you put on. Verse 23, there it is. The life. There he, now he's talking about that life, that birth to death line I draw, y'all. He's talking about that life, the life of that soul. The life of that what? Soul. So that's going back to forgiving soul. Forgive my soul, so my soul can be saved. And now I got to forgive the other soul. That's back to the forgiveness part. Now, but I got to think in terms of my life has to do with my soul. And so God is not concerned about how long you live. And to God, a day is as a what? 1,000 years. And so for us, that's 80 years is a long time. To God, that's nothing. What God is saying in your life when you're living, and Jesus is telling me, don't be taking thought about your life, about tomorrow. No thought about tomorrow. And then so this thought here is that don't be worried about tomorrow. That's what he's saying. Don't let tomorrow trouble you. What he's saying, live where? In the present. No. Now, then verse 23, he said, the life
is more than meat.
Is more than meat.
And the body is more than
stuff you're worrying about. Consider the ravens, birds.
For they neither sow nor reap.
They don't sow nor reap.
Which neither have storehouse nor
don't
barn.
Don't have storehouses to put stuff in.
And God feedeth
God
them.
God feed them.
How much more are ye better than the fowls?
Talk about human beings. Read.
And which of you with taking thought.
Now he's going back to that same thought. Why are you worried about taking, he makes a simple thought process. He said, which of you, he just put it out there, which of you disciples
can add his stature one cubit?
Can be worried about your height growing at one cubit? Jesus, I mean, it's a question that requires no thinking to answer. Notice what he says. If you then
be not able to do that thing which is least.
If you can't worry about, I want to grow another on the road. He said, that don't make sense to be worried about something you can't change. You 5'8", Tommy. What you worried about being 5'9" for? You know, that's what he's saying. The Jesus came down and put it to him like, are you crazy? You cannot. You worry all day long about what tomorrow is, but you can't change it. You can worry all day, all night. Think all day about what the past is. You can't undo your past. You can't change your past. You can't redo your past. You can't improve your past. You can't make it better. You can't do nothing about tomorrow. You can't help tomorrow. You can't plan tomorrow. You can't do nothing about tomorrow. So why are you worried about what you can't do? That's what he's saying. Then he says,
why take you thought for the rest?
So if you get the simple one, you can't grow yourself no higher than 5'8". Tommy, why are you worried about all this other stuff? I'm going to be 5'8", and there are people who are shorter than me. I like looking down at them people. Oh, well. Short people like company. And I hope y'all feel better. You got a good laugh. Yeah. But I'm tall in stature. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's get back to the lesson. Y'all see, Jesus came in. Why y'all worried about stuff like you can't change? Everybody was saying, you ain't had no control over what your height is. Mm-hmm. God stopped growing, allowing you to grow when he said it. You can go put on these high heel shoes, but when you take them off, you're still going to be 4 feet. Amen. Now, so let's get it. Consider the lilies, how they grow.
They toil not, they spin not.
He's using birds and flowers. Read.
And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Read.
If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you?
Coming down to faith.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Coming down, do you believe you're okay right now? Yes or no? You can believe you're okay. You can believe and trust in God, can't you? At all times. But you can't change nothing. But you can do this. Believe. That God is in your present. He's present. His presence is with your present. And then he says,
and seek not
And
seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink.
Oh, go back to verse 20. I missed the point. If God then so clothes the grass, which is what?
Today in the field.
That's present. The flowers ain't worried about nothing else. They today is there. No, and the birds just talking about, the birds ain't, they just today, they dealing with today. And then he said, with the field, and then here come the future. And tomorrow, see that?
It's cast into the oven.
It's going, life is going to end. But there's a tomorrow. But right now, he said, you deal with what? Today. Seek not what you shall eat. Don't worry about life. What you shall drink need to be what?
Doubtful.
Don't doubt it. You know what he said? Notice what he said.
For all these things the nation of the world seek after.
And your father knows
what you have need of these things.
Need. How you going to live in the present? You got to live in the present with who looking? Notice it. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God,
God
all these things.
All these things
so
shall be added
if
unto
my
you.
Anxiety go away when I'm focused on keeping God in my life, and putting him first. Now, let's look at a case study that he gave before he said this. Go back up to verse 13. Here go the thoughts of someone who lives in the future.
And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's
A man's life
consisted not.
This is back to that death to birth thing. This is your life. It consists not in
the abundance of the things which he possesses.
Many people are worried about all the stuff they want in life. You got two or three jobs. Amen. Enough to eat, enough to have plenty. But then when you come talking about your spiritual level, you know, Brother Brooks, right now I'm working hard. I'm working 12 hours a day to 8 hours a day. I'm working two jobs trying to get myself together. You know, the Lord want me to pay my bill. No, the Lord wants you to trust him. And notice what he says now. I'm going to be finished just a second. Because I know today we had a good meal with the brothers meeting. And I know when y'all eat, you get hungry. Now here come the parable real quick.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying.
He's going to use a simple story to teach the truth.
The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully.
Here comes a man that's living his life.
And he thought within himself.
Now notice he did what?
He thought within himself.
There's that word thought again. Now God is looking at his thoughts. His thoughts is what driving him to live a different life than what God is going to be pleased with. This thought means that it's a different from the other thought in Greek. This thought here is his reasoning. He's deliberating. There's some stuff going on in life. His head is spinning, coming up with ways to fix what he can't control, ways to handle what he has nothing to do with, ways to deal with. He's trying to make all these decisions in his head. This Greek word means he's deliberating, considering all the stuff he needs to be doing and all the things he needs to do in his life. As if he's the one in control of his life. But watch what Jesus says in verse number 18. He said, the man
this
said.
This will I do.
Now, he's in his present time. He said, here's what I'm going to do.
I will pull down my barns.
I'm going to take down everything God done blessed me
and
with.
And build greater.
I'm going to build some bigger ones. Now he's in his future.
And there will
he
I
He can't build them right then. He's talking about he's in the future. He's already planning his future. Notice what he says.
And there will I bestow all my fruits.
I'm
going to
put all this stuff God done in my past gave me. I'm going to put it all in my future. He's bringing his past into his present, and he's planning his future. Notice what happened. And I will say
to my soul.
Notice who he speaks to.
Soul.
Who he speak to. So that lifeline is representing a what?
Soul.
A soul. So he said, I would say to my soul, soul.
Thou hast much good.
Now his thoughts are deliberating. They're racing. He's trying to fly. He's trying to figure this out. How much good I laid up for.
Many years.
Now notice what the eyes. I will do. I will pull down. I will bestow. I will say. I will lay up. My soul, not God. The problem is it's him and not God. Notice what he said. But Jesus, he said, thou hast much good laid up for many what?
Years.
He's already living in the future. But Jesus said then, he says, take down EDB. He said, God said unto him,
thou fool.
That's a fool right there. That was not a fool. Why is he a fool? Where is he living at?
In the future.
He's living where?
In the future.
As if the future is his. The future is a mystery. He remember, if he'd remember who gave him all that in his past, he'd have been giving glory to God in his present. Notice, but he didn't give God no glory. He living his life worried about what I'm going to do in the future. And God said, you fool, this night.
Thy soul shall be required.
What's getting ready to happen? Is he going to die in the future?
Yep.
No, he's going to die in his present. This is my point. God is saying, you living as if tomorrow is yours. You living as if you in control. And the truth of the matter is, I'm in control. What drives me to live in my present is to know God is the one that makes the decision for me every moment of my life. And I stay in my presence connected to God. And as long as I do that, he said, God said, your soul going to be required
of thee.
Not your body, but your soul. You worried about clothes on your body, food in your body, how your body look, where your body is going to be living at, what bed your body laid in, what car your body laid in, what bank your body went to. That's your money. What job your body went to. But Jesus said, you forgot your soul, fool. You forgot your soul. And if every one of us start living in the present with our soul in mind, you ain't going to have no problem forgiving somebody else. Because you're always concerned about your soul's well-being. I have no problem saying I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you that right now. I probably ain't never had a problem with that. My favorite scripture is 1 Peter 5. We say, you know what? God give grace to the humble. But he'll resist the proud every time. Amen, somebody. And I think I said this to in the Yams group. Somebody asked me, and I say, go on and wait on your grace. Wait on your grace. You just humble yourself. Wait on your grace. God give you grace, man. But when you understand, here's what it takes to live in the present. You got to see this relationship here. You got to see it. God, you ain't all that. You ain't so good that you can't. You don't need this relationship. See, we don't come here, y'all, because we got it so good. That's not why we come. We come because the grace of God. The grace of God. Get Titus 2:11. And I'm going to close. So I'm gonna give you the one thing that can stop all the deliberations. In other words, it'll calm your mind down. You'll settle down. You'll stop being anxious. And you can live in the present and you'll be all right. Listen to what the Bible says. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God.
That bringeth salvation. That appeared to all men.
Uh-huh.
Teaching us that.
It's apparent. It's grace is from God. It's apparent. It appeared to all men. It's universal. Everybody in the world can get it. Read.
Teaching us that.
This grace teaches.
Denying
God is,
ungodliness.
God, through his grace and love for us, is teaching us.
Denying
read,
ungodliness.
That we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust.
We should live soberly.
Here's how we should live. Soberly, with a clear mind. And righteously.
And godly. Where?
And godly. Where about?
In this present
in
world.
In this present
world.
World that you are in. You're in the present world in the present. Y'all getting this? This is, he said, live soberly and righteous in this present. Now, here goes the reaching. Here goes the looking. Here goes the future. Read.
Looking for that blessed hope.
There it is. It's the future. There goes the future. We're looking. For the blessed hope and glorious
appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Where we're living at? In the present, right? Now, let me close with this. The fool don't live in the present. The fool lives in his past and in his future. But because he's living as if he's in control. I'll show you this morning that God, everything happens in God's time. And now, however, if God is in control, knowing God is in your presence, you can always have peace and not be worried, not be troubled. That other thought he talked about, worried, because you living in the present, and as long as you living in the present and you got that vertical relationship with God, God is in your presence and God knows everything. You are naked. Get Hebrews 4:12. Here comes a closing point. Here comes a closing point. Hebrews 4:12. The Bible says,
for the word of God is quick.
Now, notice what we got, y'all, is called the word of God. The word of God is
quick.
So the word of God comes from God, right? The word of God is what?
Quick and powerful.
Live, it's powerful.
And sharper than any two-edged sword.
Piercing
even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Of the soul. This is the inner man. This is the man he was talking to. The man that needs to be saved is in you. It's the soul. Notice what he says.
And of the joints and marrow.
Joints and marrow. That's all within inside of a person. Read.
And is a discerner of the thoughts, intents of the heart.
It's a discerner, which it discovers. It's like the search engine. Rather than you deliberating, having your mind circling, trying to figure out how you're going to do things, you are now taking the word of God to give you answers. This is what we say, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light. That word of God is what? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. See, we're not going to be troubled by following the word of God. We're troubled when we follow our own thoughts. See, this word here means skilled in judging. What that deliberate. Discerner means skill and judge. In other words, you can't judge this because you have the future is a mystery. You have no control over that. You can't. You deliberate searching in your mind all worry and anxiety on pills because you're trying to deliberate and discover something you can't discover. It's impossible. So what do you got to do? You got to let the word of God give you guidance on how you live in your presence. You got to live according to the word of God. The word of God is what you put into your heart. Here's why. Remember, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on where? Heart. He said, add my word to your heart that you might not sin. So the heart or the mind, this is why people who don't come to worship, don't stay for Bible class, they're never going to grow. They're going to always be worried. They're going to live in their past. They're going to try to make their future because they haven't resolved that the word of God gives me direction. The word of God is skilled in judging. When you can't think, the word of God is skilled in judging and giving you true direction to peace. Now, look what he says now. He said, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharpened into where pierced the divine son of the soul and spirit, and the discerner. Notice what he said, discerner. Here come that of the thoughts. That's that same Greek word right there, thought, meaning the one that's deliberating, like that fool was doing. So it can calm that down, and it can make decisions, and it says thoughts and intents. In conjunction. Whatever you intend to do based on your own thoughts, if you take the word of God and let it guide you, then you won't have to deliberate on it. You just do what God told you to do. Amen. And then what he said, watch, here come last part.
Neither is there any creature that is not now, manifest
that's
in his
this
sight.
This verse, this is what I'm talking about right here. That's up. I'm closing now. He said, now what?
Neither is there any creature that is not now, manifest here in
come,
his sight.
Here come the closing. Here come the closing. Now think about the visualizer like this. If I had a board, I'd draw you, put you in there, and say, God looking down at you. He see everything that you thinking. Look what he says.
But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
See, here's the thing. What God wants us to do is keep him as a primary focus in our life. That's why Jesus told him in that text, seek ye first who? The kingdom of who? God. So if every day in your life you putting God first, every day in your life, you live in the present. Here's what should drive your living in the present. The word of God should be what you're putting in your mind and following it. As long as you put the word of God in your mind and follow it, you can live a life that's less worry and anxiety. Amen. Why? You're living always in the present. Is that a good lesson?
Amen.
Good lesson. So what you need to do? What do we do, y'all? What do we do? We have to make a decision to when something comes in your mind about what's going to happen tomorrow, you say, nah, that's tomorrow. Like I tell you, I sleep good now. And every time I start going back in the past, every time I think about that now at nighttime, I say, Tommy, huh? That's not now. Okay. That you think I'm lying. Y'all might think I'm lying. That's true. That's why I tell y'all, this has been the best things I've ever studied in the Bible to me. Because I needed something. It's better than a pill. It was better than them pills them doctors gave me. Say, man, God said, Tommy, what are you worried about? You can't undo that. I did that. That was my decision. That wasn't your decision. You can't undo it. But I can't, you can't forget it. I didn't want you to forget it. I wanted you to take it and you bless Holland Heights with it. You take it and you bless somebody else with it. I did that. And you only got now, and the best thing you do now is you keep me first. I'm watching every thought of yours. I know every hair in your head. And as long as you keep putting me first, I'm going to bless your life because you're going to be at peace with me. And when you're at peace with me, you're going to get peace from me. And when you get the peace from me, you're going to get peace that's past understanding. That's how you live in the present. You live in the present, taking no thought for the future, taking no thought for the past. And remember, God's word guides you how to live. That's it. That's it. As long as you follow God's word and you hold to that, and that's what you put in here, you can live in the present. Now, does that mean you ain't going to have no pain today? No. But whose decision was it? Exactly. That's why Job could say what? The Lord give it, and the Lord took it. Then he said something else. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What Job did was in his present, he had sores, he lost all his children, and his wife started talking like a fool, and he said, no, naked I came, naked I'm going. He said, the past wasn't mine, the future ain't mine, past God gave it, it wasn't mine then. And then he said, guess it. Well, he said, blessed be the name. He had pain and sores and everything, yet he still lived in his presence. Job didn't get in trouble until he started trying to figure it out. Amen. Good lesson? Amen. Okay, what's the recap? Top 7 points. Let's do it. Brother Stroud told me to recap at the end. I'm going to be obedient. Let me recap it for y'all. Y'all ready? Okay. Past is always an unchangeable. We always live in leaving. You always finish in the, never in the future. The past is a, future is a, you can only learn from the, you can never learn from the, future is a, and but until it's in your, you will always finish in the, and never in the, you will always die in the, and never in the, and God is always in your presence. He's it. God is always present in your present. And then tonight, the way you live in your present, you live in your present with God and your thoughts are controlled by the word of God. That good? If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, you're in bad shape. You're in real bad shape. You need to be a Christian. I'm going to tell you something. Anybody living this life without God is in trouble. Amen. They ain't going to have a number of life full of word and spasms and spasming out and going crazy. You got to believe God gave his son. You got to believe his son suffered, bled, and died for you. You got to believe he hung on the cross of Calvary 6 hours. You got to believe they shed his blood that washed your sins away. You got to believe that he hung there and you never seen it. You got to believe after he died, they buried him in a borrowed tomb and then they resurrected. You got to believe that he suffered for you. And you got to let that touch your heart. How God could love you that much, how your son could suffer for you like that. And when you let that touch your heart, your mind, you let it come into your mind, you will obey him. You will obey him like Edgar did this morning. You will obey him. You'll be baptized. And then you'll start living with him. And living and following his will and his way. Amen. You do that. You hear the gospel. You believe it with all of your heart. You repent of your sin. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Then you must be baptized for the remission of your sin. And then the Lord will add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And there you must live what? Faithful until It means if the choir's dying, don't ever leave the church. Whatever you do, just always stay in the Lord. Don't ever leave the Lord. And then, of course, if you need prayer, you can write it on a card. You can come down to the front. You can make a confession. Hopefully, you all have got a good lesson, got a good, something good that will help you like it has helped Brother Brooks. I just hope it helps you that way, too. If not, I pray for you. I pray for you. Why don't you come? We got a song of encouragement. Why don't you come as together we stand and sing.